Welcome to Big Head Mode. Tonight, we are talking about spooky games because we are reviewing Until Dawn, the terrifying horror game where everyone can die. I am joined in the studio by Tegan and Fadia, who's come back and is very nicely in the studio despite being horribly jet-lagged.
I feel ill.
You flew in early this morning, right, Fadia?
I did. I flew in very, very early this morning.
And you haven't slept?
I have not slept.
Excellent. It's going to be a great show.
Great show, guys.
That's
Let's
all
do
coming
it.
Up on Big Head Mode, 2RRR's one and only gaming show. Fadia, hang in there, buddy. Hang in there. Hello and welcome to Big Head Mode for another week. I'm Ben O'Brien, Tegan, Bardia.
Hello.
Guys, thanks for coming. Oh. Specifically, Bardia.
How you doing?
You had a lot farther to travel.
I feel like I can see through time. Like, I feel
oh,
really
no, you can.
Weird.
You
can.
But that's just a community radio thing. You know, that's a side effect that these studios are very
that's
old.
That's just a time difference because New York's different to
New York's
Sydney.
Different.
Yeah, that's
totally.
What that is.
Yeah. Yeah, cool.
And you're a Time Lord.
Yeah, also.
So there's that as well.
I apologize in advance to anything I do or say in the next hour.
But yeah, that's very much the reason you're on the show. You're the loose cannon tonight.
You're the
bloody
maverick.
The only
reason I'm on the show. Oh, Christ.
Yeah, if you could just be either jet-lagged or, I don't know, have some kind of dental surgery where you're under the gas.
Sure, I gotta get my wisdom out.
Something
so
like this, yeah,
sorted.
Anytime Perfect. You come on, if we could just impair you mentally, that'd be fantastic. We've got a lot of games to talk about tonight. Tegan, we've been playing a lot of games since, I think, the last show. But you've probably been playing next to nothing.
I have no idea what it... No.
No.
It's all right. We played so much to make up for it.
Really
so much.
We've been playing Destiny.
Oh, yeah.
I know that one.
But more recently, something that I've been teasing you about for a while on the show as well, and off the show, that you'd never played Halo before and you tried it for the first time.
Last night?
Just last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like, what took us through... Because you've played a lot of Destiny now, which is obviously the evolution of Halo,
made
by the same people. What's your take on Halo? You like it? You don't like it?
Yeah, no, I'm really liking it so far. I think you summed it up really well last night when you were saying that it's a far more simpler, simplistic version, I guess, of Destiny in terms of the controls and everything. So I had to sort of learn to just calm down a little bit.
Calm down, Tegan. Calm down.
And it was actually really fun switching between the old graphics and the updated ones.
I love doing that.
That was really fun.
Monkey Island did
it.
That as well. It was
No, it's great. I'm loving it so far.
I feel if I only wish we had a Body's button.
Dying.
If we had a button to switch back and forth between the non-jet lag and jet lag Bardia.
It wouldn't be that different.
Just to compare. It's funny, jet lagged Bardia is still somehow more coherent than fully alert Tom.
True. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's not that.
That guy needs assistance.
True.
Medical assistance.
No, I'm digging it so far. I might even manage to blow myself up with a grenade and blame it on Ben. That was some good times.
Welcome to playing Halo.
There's certain things that Halo trains you to do. One of them is anytime you see anything glowing blue, or anytime you hear that,
run.
Yeah, it's like Minecraft. You just get conditioned to hear that creeper hiss.
Yeah,
and it was happening a little bit that you're just happily shooting guys in the face. Meanwhile, there's a plasma grenade right on your foot.
Sometimes the lines will blur, and you'll see like blue things in real life, and then just run away from them.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that actually happened to me when I was at work the other day. All of the lights in the center dimmed, and because I've been playing so much Destiny, I'm just like, public event.
Somewhere in this center, there's someone I can kill for coins.
Where are the wolves?
Dear Lord.
Grab an old lady. Give me your strange coins. I don't have any strange coins. They're all strange to me.
Got some moon pie.
Seriously though, Tegan, you really shouldn't have shaken the coins out of that woman's purse.
I really shouldn't have just punched that bald guy. It wasn't Kryptok.
Yeah. although in your defense, he was huge and purple and looked a lot like a
tangerine.
What are they called? I've forgotten what they're called.
A tangerine.
The weird
an avatar.
The eyeball things in Destiny. Oh, this is embarrassing.
Oh, Benjamin.
They've got a dumb name because they're dumb enemies.
Is it Benjamin?
classic Bardia.
I can't remember what they're called, but I remember the one strike boss in the Devil's Lair. Because,
The big boss.
Because what's his name from the way? It's like Sepix Prime.
Sepix
Prime is a such and such. Anyway, look.
Kabbalah.
They've got big eyes that you have to shoot in the face.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
I was making a joke that a guy looked like a big eye. Let's move on. Hey? All right? Is that okay with you guys?
Are we ready for a break? Or?
Who's jet-lagged?
Let's play all the songs. It's rubbing off, all right? Something you'll be very proud of, Bardia. In all our past shows...
Tell me.
...where I have been maybe, shall we say, less than fair in my summation of the Metal Gear Solid series.
Yes, I can agree with that.
Metal Gear Solid 5, Phantom Pain has been getting... stellar reviews.
Incredible.
And I know that I've got to give it a solid try. Even though I've teach you a lot, I still have issues with it. For instance, the fact that all of your AI companions are either animals, a robot, or a bikini-clad woman.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they're all on an equal level or something. No. Anyway, those issues aside, it looks like it's getting great reviews, so I'm going to give it a try.
Yep.
So I thought I will play Ground Zeroes and give it a solid try. I was playing a lot of it today.
And? Is this your first Metal Gear Solid game?
No, it's the first one that I feel like I've gotten even vaguely into. Mm-hmm. I played most of Metal Gear Solid 4. Yeah. Had no idea what was going on. That game had like 3-hour cutscenes that weren't accessible to a non...
Yeah, you can't jump into that game without having played the others. And there's a cutscene in that game which lasts so long that a lot of PlayStations were going to power down, standby.
Servitors! Oh my God. They're called servitors! Thank you.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah.
You could have just left that.
Just not. Just happened. Cool. Thanks, Tom. Right, no. Send me that on Facebook just now.
Oh, Tom, you hero.
There we go.
Proud of yourself. Proud of yourself.
Yeah. Look, yeah, are you proud of yourself, buddy? Because he probably heard that crack you made about him earlier.
I stand by it. You need assistance, sir.
That's true. Yeah. I know that, except I feel like that's still... I do like a series that doesn't try to dumb it down for new entrants.
Right.
But that series... it didn't even try to, like, vaguely give you an entry point.
But that was also a finale to an overall story, whereas now with Phantom Pain and Ground Zeroes, it's sort of like an... I mean, it follows on from Peace Walker.
But I think that's what I like about it. You're not Solid Snake. You're a character with a lot of connections to the original series, but you don't need all the baggage to enjoy it.
It's sort of like the origins of... Well, it's like the later part of the origin story.
Yeah, I guess it's like being able to play Halo Reach...
Yeah.
Without needing necessarily to know what happens at the end of Halo 3.
Totally. Totally. Ground Zeroes is a tough one because it's so, it's a small game, really. It's a small package.
It is contained, but it's kind of what I needed because the stuff that I was just trying to get the hang of is the wider mechanics and just the flow of stuff. Yeah.
Gameplay-wise, it's very different from the other ones, which is interesting.
Different from the others, but apparently like a better example of what Phantom Pain is going to be like. Totally. More open world, more freedom in your choices.
It's cool though, right? Like
I think so. I think so. A test for me for a stealth game is how much variety. Like I like trying stealth as long as I can, but I like when stealth fails. I like having an option to choose Plan B.
Totally.
And it doesn't quite. It's a bit like Hitman. For me.
Oh, yeah, but also a really great game.
Hitman is a great game, but it always felt so cheap to me when the alarm gets broken. Mm. You just stand in a doorway with your pistols and brutally murder like 30 guys, and then you're hiding them all in a little murder pile in the corner. You know,
murder pile.
Yeah. Murder pile.
Whereas, like, a great game, even though obviously it's super accessible, but a game like Assassin's Creed where you try one tactic and then it's like failure just opens another loop of gameplay.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I like those. I like that action movie vibe that this game sets off. You're this badass commander, you know, that's sort of like, I've got to go in there and save my friends.
It's got like an 80s sort of like 80s action.
Totally 80s. Totally 80s.
But I mean, Sutherland doing the voice.
But that's the whole thing of Snake, right? That is based on Kurt Russell's character from Escape from. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Totally. And it's
But that's
it's
a
perfect.
Badass film.
That's what's brought. That's what sucks me in more than anything. It's just that I'm just playing Snake Plissken. Yeah. You know, and I'm down for that.
And that was the code name he used when in, fun fact, in Sons of Liberty.
I know that because I this is how serious I am about wanting to give Metal Gear Solid 5 a good go. I watched a few of those
Stop it.
Learn the Series videos.
How'd that go?
I know, how proud of you are.
I'm really proud of you.
Look, as they could go, it gets a bit weird at times.
Oh, certainly, yeah.
There is one game, and you're going to have to be, you know, pick me up on the specifics. Okay. There was one game... So the big thing in these games, right, is that they're trying to stop Metal Gears, which are these nuclear robot.
Yeah, these like bipedal tanks.
Yeah, right. I think
really
it was
worried also that I'm not going to be able to pick them up and I'll be making embarrassing.
Second or third game, I think it was based in the chronology. There was a bunch of other concepts. There was like cloning. There was some sort of super soldier project, all these other projects.
That was the second one.
But they're still really focused on fighting these robots. It's like, you could take over the world with all that other stuff that they're working on.
Yeah, the second one got really weird toward the end because it also ended up being a simulation of the first game without actually being a simulation. It was like...
And this one that has like bio-organisms and stuff or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, and the fourth one, they started introducing like these nanobots into everything.
It sounds like a very... like yeah, that's the one actually I'm thinking of. Like that nanobots one? Sounded way more threatening than Metal Gears do.
Yeah, well, they started, like, I think in the fourth game they started realizing that the
this
story...
is probably a maddening conversation for anyone who's played the series.
Absolutely! And I'm sure...
Hey, guys, this is for you.
This is for you three. The fourth one, they started doing the whole nanobots, and they started, like, focusing on how that affected, like, war, and it got really, like... Yeah. It started to get really sentimental, which I think may have been... I don't know, it got pretty heavy.
Did you see the launch trailer that was actually edited by Kojima?
I did. Sick.
It's pretty clear, I think, from the language of that trailer that it's his goodbye.
Yeah.
This game.
It's so upsetting.
It's really upsetting, I feel. Upsetting. I mean, I'm glad I can just jump in here on the end and become a Metal Gear fan and be like, I've always been there, guys. Yeah, cool. Metal Gear! Woo!
Love that. But no, the HD...
Give me some of that...
Metal...
Solid Snake.
Snarky.
Solid Snake.
HD Solid Snake. The HD remake is you can buy that. Play that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I will. My stance on game nostalgia is it's if you've missed the boat, it's gone. You know.
Told me to get into Halo.
Yeah, but
we just had this conversation 3 seconds ago.
Some games.
Hypocrite.
No, some games kind of work, and Halo is one of them that works, especially because that anniversary.
He likes it.
No, that anniversary edition. Upscales almost everything and puts it on par with a lot of games.
And there's a button that lets you revert it back to normal graphics.
No, also, I was doing that.
The button.
But also, in terms of nostalgia, Halo isn't that long ago. I'm talking games like 20 years. Like, if you missed the...
Alex Kidd.
If you didn't play Alex Kidd, it doesn't mean anything to a modern gamer today.
True.
If you missed the original Zelda, it's like, why would you care about that now? Because it doesn't... You don't have that sentimental attachment to it.
I guess.
You know?
I guess. But it also depends how...
Like, I don't want to go back and play the original Metal Gears out of curiosity. I just wanted to know the world and the story.
Well, yeah, but that makes sense, jumping in at 5.
Mine was... my experience was different.
Yeah.
My experience was, like, I played the third one. Started playing the third one. I was like, no, I'm going to stop, and I'm going to go back and play the first one, and then go... And I worked
through it. Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater?
Yeah, well, I was actually playing Metal Gear Solid 3.
Look at me.
Your bloody expert.
But I was actually playing Metal Gear Solid 3 Subsistence, which is it's the version of Snake Eater which allows you to have 3D control of the camera.
Okay. Hey, guys, you know what's cool? Game music. This is The Covenant One Final Effort. We're going to come back after this and talk about game news, including Fast Assassin's Creed, as I'm calling it. First glimpse of Fassbender as an assassin. We'll be back after this. Ooh. Chilling.
Haunting.
Haunting.
That was the Covenant One Final Effort. Marty O'Donnell.
What's happening? What's this? What are you doing?
You're in big head mode.
Oh, what's happening? I don't like this.
My AM voice.
Oh, okay, cool.
We are talking about scary things tonight, Bardia, and that was certainly one of them.
That me doing that voice.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Oh, I don't like it. I don't like the look he does.
Are you ready now for some smooth jazz?
His eyes just glaze over.
No.
Yeah, have you ever seen anyone that does an AM radio show? That's not, I assure you. That's what they look like.
No, that's why it's a radio show.
Touche, Bardia.
Boom. I'm still on it. I'm on the ball.
He's on the ball. Here. Welcome back, Bardia.
We all just got our little finger guns out, and I don't know why.
We finger banged the hell out of that.
Yeah, we did.
Oh, God.
All right, let's get into some news. Let's talk about it first. Fassy McFassfass.
Woohoo!
We've talked about this movie on and off.
That's what his mates call him.
The first actual glimpse of Fassbender. I'm moving the laptop around so we can all
this
just...
This is great radio, showing pictures to
everyone's seen it
guests.
By now. Everyone's seen it by
we
now.
We could have just let that go and not said anything.
I know.
Let's make a big deal of the laptop.
Well, Tegan's the person in The Wizard of Oz who went, hey, there's a guy behind that curtain over there.
Yeah, just pull the curtain down. Come on. Fine.
So by now, the whole image of what an assassin is meant to look like is, we all know it. You know, we've seen it in a million bloody... Ubisoft games, and that's only just the ones that came out last year.
Absolutely.
But the key story details that I think are interesting are that he is... hang on. But it's staring at the computer.
I also wasn't paying attention. I just zoned out a little bit.
The key details are the actual character's name, which we know now. His name is Callum Lynch.
Ooh, that is...
He's a modern So Fassbender plays his modern guy, Callum Lynch, who discovers, who uses Abstergo tech to revisit his 15th century Spanish ancestor, whose name is Aguila. Aguila. I don't know how it's pronounced. But I'm guessing because of the A-G-U-I-L, it's another play on the word eagle, like virtually every assassin character.
Yeah. That's really cool.
And it looks cool.
The
looks
coolest thing is, apart from the fact that, it is a really cool costume, I don't like that just the colouring, they've tried to make him look a little, it looks a little bit...
CGI?
No, look at his... Like, he's meant to be Spanish. Do you guys get a little bit of a blackface vibe from that?
No.
I feel like just they've given him makeup to make him look a little bit
that
more...
That is one of the weirdest things you've ever said.
Yeah.
Look at his face. Okay, look at him.
It's not like an Alliance...
They've tried to give him a real Antonio Banderas look, and I feel like... I don't know. I'm not sure how I feel about having Fassbender play both past and present versions.
Yeah, that's really weird.
I feel like they're going to make him... a bit more Spanish, and it's going to be weird. Like when Jake Gyllenhaal was meant to be the Prince of Persia, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, at least in that, he was unashamedly white. Like he
was, certainly.
They unashamedly whitewashed that whole film in an awful way. But that's still less offensive than them trying to get a white actor to sort of do another culture. Yeah. I don't know.
On the other hand, though, like I do like that they're committing to the Assassin's Creed-ness of it quite a lot. Like, with the whole Abstergo thing and going into the... I'm assuming the Animus to... Like, that's... I mean, it's just like the video game in movie form rather than, like, half-assing it.
That's the coolest thing, I think, about the news is that the reason that he is a different character rather than Desmond is that this takes place in the same universe as the games.
Yeah, that's either going to be really awesome or it's going to be its biggest, like, thing that's going to hold it back. Because what works in a video game doesn't necessarily work in a movie and vice versa. So it'd be interesting. I'm excited. I'm super excited.
I mean, I feel like the world of that games that could work in a movie quite well. But by choosing a new character, they're not limited to a lot of
the other story
stuff in the games. And also, like, they've taken their time with those games so much so that there's so many things we don't know. Like who is the current head of Abstergo? You know, and who is moving the.
Maybe it can explain
what happened. All the puppet strings and all that stuff.
Maybe it can explain what happened at the end of the third game.
Exactly.
Maybe.
Maybe they can use the film to retcon what happened at the end of the third film.
That game sucks.
One can dream.
One can and will dream. Some more Destiny news that came out. A lot of news is coming out in the lead up of The Taken King. And there's just so many changes coming to this game.
I'm so excited.
I've seen one person describing it on Twitter as... I'm really excited for Taken King because finally we can stop playing the Destiny beta. Which I thought was
amazing.
Cheeky but apt.
Amazing.
So the latest changes that they've said is they're completely overhauling that whole weekly Nightfall challenge and the weekly strike.
Oh,
So the weekly Nightfall challenge, there's lots of subtleties and stuff, but here are the three big changes, right?
Mm-hmm.
It now requires level 40 to play it.
So you can get to level 40 now in that game?
Yeah, they're raising the level cap from 20 to 40. And they're changing the whole light system.
Oh, that's going to be interesting.
It sounds way better.
This is the best thing. Nightfall's wiping no longer returns everyone to orbit. Do you remember that?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like if everyone dies, had to go back to orbit and try that mission from the beginning.
I feel like that was a bug and that they were like, just leave it.
Well, that's what they've basically said is that... That just wasn't fun for people.
No, certainly not.
It wasn't fun. They want it to be like a weekly ritual where everyone gets together and has a great time and doing that. And they felt that the threat of being kicked to orbit made everyone just play it really safe rather than run in there, have fun, feel like they're sort of powerful and whatnot.
See, I wouldn't want to touch that because it just reminds me of Dark Souls and makes me want to cry.
Yeah, it's brutal. But to balance it now, they've thrown in that 30-second... respawn time penalty like the raids have.
So
it is still like you still don't want to die because 30 seconds is a long time to wait for your friends to respawn. But I think that's way better.
I'm excited.
I'm actually gonna bother playing them now.
I'm excited to start playing Destiny again.
Oh yeah, you should. It's really good. If you get in a really good fire team and because you're exhausted and you fall asleep, your fire team Ben and Nick might push you into a fire. In an actual fire pit. That's something that happens.
I love that Tegan acts like we somehow did her wrong by pushing her character into a fire.
No, welcome to that fire team.
She fell asleep mid-game. I mean,
we were at the tower. It was 2 a.m.
She left us stranded there. She was the fire team leader. can I say?
So that was job, mate.
Also, we didn't know you were asleep. You just stopped responding. And we were like, this will be funny when Deacon comes back. That never happened.
You're the worst people.
Me?
Yeah.
Or them.
I love it. I love the buddies on my side.
Damn it. Monsters.
Anyway, on the subject of Destiny, they also revealed there was a new trailer for The Taken King, and it had our very first glimpse of a non-Dinklage Dinklebot.
I don't know how to feel.
Shut up.
I don't even know what to call the Dinklebot anymore now that it's not Dinklage.
Probably not Dinklebot. 343
Dink.
But it's not. There's no Dink. It's no Dinkless.
Dinkless.
Wait, when you say, is it a different, like,
they have,
ghost,
they
or
have
is it just a different
completely,
voice?
Have you missed this news?
God, I've been away for a while.
He's been
There's this
a
thing in America called the internet, Bardia.
The who?
They completely got rid of Dinklage.
Yeah, no,
not
no,
only have
I
they replaced
that.
Him for the new DLC, but they have re-recorded all of his pre-existing
same ghost,
stuff
same ghost.
With Nolan North as
no
Dinklebot.
Way.
Yeah.
So it's not like, because I... Cause
it's
I
not
did,
a Dinklebot
I did hear that was gonna. I did hear that was happening. I just thought
you
it
guys,
was...
Do you guys want to hear him?
Yes.
Yeah.
This,
yeah.
So this is the this is new...
New Dinklebot. Are we still going to call him Dinklebot?
He's always going to be Dinklebot.
Before you, sorry, yeah. Real, sorry, before you play it, so I just want to get a clip. I thought they were just like getting rid of, like, in the new DLC that we're just going to have a new ghost and it was going to be a new person. But
no,
they've actually, like,
no.
actually, like,
they've gone back to all the original missions.
Retconned.
In terms of the lore, yeah. They've, like, gotten rid of Dinklage because
yeah.
it's crap.
They've yes. No, it's not because it's crap. It's the issue was. They just couldn't get him schedule wise to do any DLC, and the ghost is you're meant to be your guide.
All right, let's
you ready?
Let's
so this is new ghost. This is new ghost.
All right.
Why do you think they crashed their ship into the dreadnought? Those are extreme tactics for the Cabal.
Thoughts.
All right.
First
all right.
What
well, he was emoting.
Yeah, well, there was a clear cadence and
yes.
sort of right, like levels to his voice.
Absolutely.
That was Nolan North.
That was Nolan yeah. North.
Was it Nathan Drake?
Was that unrecognizable?
Yeah.
Maybe it's because he's a bloody voice actor.
Woo! Boom. Someone doing his job, baby.
Yeah. Good on you, Nolan.
It's like we set that up.
No. Nope.
Absolutely. We did not practice that at home.
Not set up. Genuine enthusiasm. Who would have thunk it?
And confusion.
I'm down for the new Dink.
I'm all down for the new Dink.
Dink 2.0.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
let's
like
just
it.
Call him 3432.
343 what?
What is happening?
Buddy's jet lag is showing. Oh, Buddy's jet lag is showing.
Quick, go to a break. Go to a break.
I think we're going to have to. This is Venice Rooftops from Assassin's Creed 2 by Jesper Kidd. I'm going to quickly stick this adrenaline shot in Buddy's heart.
What are you doing, Ben? No!
And we'll be right back after this.
Here we go.
Oh, God, guys. Oh, someone no. let a witch in the studio.
That's my most... I hate that sound.
Yeah, no, it's
Do
terrifying.
Really?
No, me too. Yeah. Absolutely.
It's terrifying.
It's terrifying, is it?
Yep.
Well, I'm glad you find it terrifying, because that's what we're bloody talking about.
What a segue. Wow. All right. Pew, pew, pew.
Seamless. So, because we're reviewing Until Dawn...
I hate the two
I
of you.
Thought... stay awake, Bardia.
Right back at you, Bardia.
Tegan, slap Bardia for me. Wow. Thought oh my god, she did that. Buddy, he's bleeding.
I'm back.
He's back. Because we're talking about Until Dawn, I thought let's talk about not just horror games, because we've done that before, but specifically, what is the most scared you've been in games?
Mm.
Yeah? Mm. All right, Buddy, do you want to get things rolling before you pass out?
I'll kick it off.
Yeah?
Before I kick off, am I right?
Oh.
Come on, let's go there.
Okay. Well, for me, it's got to be like, it's pretty recent, actually, I think, because... I haven't really been frightened by a game, I think, until I started playing Alien.
Sure, yeah.
Isolation,
right? Was...
Isolation
or,
it
or
was terrifying.
Or Colonial Marines.
I mean, both.
For different reasons.
Very different reasons.
Isolation. Like, I remember there was a moment, maybe halfway through the game, where I was going through the vents and old mate, big old alien, was above me.
What's his name?
And I pop up. He sees me. I'm running. She sees me. I'm running. I jump in the vents. And I'm like, oh, great. I'm fine. I'm safe. Never going to get in here because this is a video game and nothing ever crawls in the vents. So I'm like wandering around the vents. I look at my little the radar thing and I see she disappears. And I'm like, oh, cool. It's safe for me to go outside. Let me just turn this corner. There she is.
Oh.
Staring right at me in the vents. I actually dropped my controller and yelped a little bit like a little girl. But it's like, I mean, that was... the most terrified I think I've been, not only in video games, but like watching it. I've never seen a movie that's made me that, like that made me jump so much. Cause
yeah.
I didn't expect it to happen.
I still think about it, and I still cry sometimes.
Terrifying.
Yeah, look, I mean, very terrifying. Monsters and stuff in games, yeah. Jump scares.
But, like, yeah, jump scares are scary because they startle you, but this actually caught me so off guard that I had to put the controller down and step away. I had no idea what to do with myself.
It's when a game... Like, I mean, there are so many things that you're conditioned in games to think of as safety.
Totally.
Like, yeah. Resident Evil, the typewriter rooms.
Yeah.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And elevators is hands down one of them, and which is what Dead Space smashed out of the park. By having those vents that at any time they could just burst through them. And so you get to a habit of every time you get an elevator, just back in the corner
and just waiting.
Aiming at the vents, yeah.
But it's like that game also messed with you because you would, like... We walk through a corridor or whatever and hear the sound of the necromorphs or whatever above you. And you're like, oh, here we go. It's going to be a fight. And then they won't drop down. And you'll be like, okay, well, then when are they going to drop down? And then they don't for like 10 minutes. And you'll see them and you'll be like, oh, that's where they are. So like, you never know whether it's going to, you know, you're going to get into trouble or not.
Yeah.
That's how you make a game. Scary.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. It's true. And for me, it is that thing where something defies game rules. Did you guys play Resident Evil 4?
Yeah.
I think they're called regenerators.
Terrifying.
Terrifying.
Forget about it.
Like, when you find them in the lab, and they horror games do that thing really well where they telegraph something that's going to just ruin your day later. Like, you walk past and you see this thing in a tube, and you're like, well, he's not moving, so I'm totally safe from him.
Yep.
Well, for now.
Yeah.
Just the way they would just move and slowly kind of...
Yeah. Actually, there was a regenerator in Dead Space as well that was terrifying. The one that would like twitch and stuff, and every time you shot it, it would just grow its limb back.
Kind of, but like it still wasn't as scary to me as the Resident Evil 4 one. Just the way that it so slowly walked towards
and, like,
you.
Twitched.
Oh, yeah.
And it was only
okay.
when you unlocked, you realized that you had to use the x-ray and find out where its weak points were. But other than that, just like...
Terrifying. Yeah,
terrifying.
That's all
yeah.
I hear
it
around
does.
My
You're doing
house
that really
night.
Well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
because it haunts my dreams.
Yeah. I think about it every day.
I hear it in our house at night.
Oh,
that's
God.
True. No, I know what I know. What gives Tegan nightmares when I do the clown voice.
No, don't.
Oh, no.
Why? Why do you hate me so much?
You should have a new clown in it.
Actually, you know what? That reminds me. We got a few people who... posted on social media things they like. Carlo's one specifically was GTA 5. Bardia knows what he did. Bardia, do you want to talk about this story? I don't think we've ever actually talked about this on the show.
I don't think I know what he's talking about.
But Bardia, you really don't. Bardia, when we went mask shopping for our heist,
oh, no.
Bardia chose the hockey mask.
I just fall asleep and then I just wake up.
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Sometimes, like, we'll be in the middle of stumming, we'll turn around and look at Bardia, and all of a sudden he's got a hockey mask on.
Oh, God.
And he's holding an axe.
I don't recall any of this happening.
Hey, he doesn't remember it, but what follows?
Put it down! Put it down, Bardia! No!
Put it down, Bardia.
Put it down.
This is what Bardia... He starts singing and just relentlessly chases us on foot.
Wait, does he do that down in party chat? Does he start singing?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Or he says... The other one he used to say was... I'm gonna find you.
Oh, no.
One night he chased us for seriously about an hour and a half. But it was sort of like your first instinct is, well, I can just kill Bardia, right?
That's all of our first instincts at all times.
Yeah. Games,
just in life.
Out of games. But then it became like Michael Myers in H2O, because you kill him, but he'd keep coming back.
Oh, God.
I'm coming.
I hit him with a car. And so Carl and I just, like, at first we were just having fun, and then it was just genuinely terrifying.
Little pig and run.
Yeah, I had a great video of like we got in the car and then, like, we're all in first person. I turned to the window and Bardia's just there, like, smashing the window in with the axe.
I get really into it. It's actually really.
Yeah,
really
is it wrong
it.
That
we
I
all
wanna...
commit to it? We overcommit to
is
it.
Is it wrong that I want to get involved in this?
You say that. You say that.
I say that now.
But
I know what you're talking about. Sometimes
you will regret.
Yeah, and then I'll wake up on a beach and, like, my head will hurt and everyone will be really angry at me and I'm like, what's going on? What's up, guys?
We're fine, guys.
Hanging out.
What about
I
you,
have
Tegan?
Episodes. Sorry.
I've got a few, but I was going to say, just quickly going back to the whole defying the traditional genre, defying gravity.
That's also terrifying.
I really liked Outlast for the reason that you didn't have weapons. That was great. That added a whole new level of horror to it I really liked.
And that's a huge part, I think, of a lot of good survival horror is just making you so powerless.
Yeah.
And then really good jump scares in that game.
Yeah, there really are. Absolutely. But going back to some of my scariest ones, they're actually pretty recent ones. Last year for Geek Bomb, we did some Halloween special streaming, which involved me maybe drinking a little bit and playing Slender and PT. And I was terrified.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about PT.
Yeah, which Ben hasn't played yet. I'm going to make PT. Him. I'm going to make
I'm
him
I'm
going to
be honest,
it.
Though. I played a bit of Slender, and it didn't scare me as much as I wanted.
When Slender came out, it was terrifying, because that was like the beginning of this like horror game renaissance.
Yeah,
and those style of games of like not giving you a weapon. Mm. You know, things like Amnesia and Outlast and sort of...
Sure.
I think Amnesia may have been a little bit beforehand, but like that sort of style started becoming popular. But PT...
PT's fucked.
PT's actually, like, it's genuinely terrifying.
It is.
Like, I totally forgot that was a thing, but yeah, it's real messed up. Because a lot of it is random. It's like there's no way to tell what's going to happen.
And
when
the puzzle is hard. Like, you...
No, the puzzle doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
It's beyond hard. Like, it's silly, but
it's a Kojima game, though, right?
It's a Kojima game.
Well, that would make sense,
mate. Screw you, dude. Anyway, David Hayter's actually in.
Oh, shut up! He plays Lisa. Is that a name? The ghost.
The ghost thing. Yeah.
Did either of you two play the game Condemned?
No,
I did. I absolutely did. Criminal Origins.
Yeah. Do you remember the one? There was a great bit really early on in Condemned where you're investigating a crime scene, I think, in like an old abandoned.
School?
Clothing store. There's like a department store.
Of course.
Mannequins! There's all the mannequins. And you look at them and they're standing still. You turn around, every time you turn back, there's more of them.
Oh,
yeah.
God,
no, it's messed up. It's like a fever dream.
And then they start getting they're closer and closer to you. You never see them move, but every time you look back, they've changed.
That's a hard note.
You know what?
Terrifying.
Really good
but
game.
So effective.
Really good game.
It was okay.
I may have really overstated how good it was.
No, but
it was
had
pretty
such,
good.
It had a great moment.
Did you play the second one?
That I
was
did.
Remember the bear?
Terrifying. That second one was terrifying as well.
Terrifying.
Both of them Sega games, too.
Oh, how'd they go?
Funnily enough.
How'd Sega do?
I don't know. Let's watch this space. And then the other one that I had was Fear.
No, that was scary. You're wrong.
You never played the first Fear?
Yeah, I did.
Towards the very end... when just the little girl is just chasing after you in the... Because you can't hurt her. Like, it's that thing of the enemy that you can't... Any enemy that you just have to walk away from, you can't hurt.
Yeah.
Feeling like you're being stalked in a game is terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
No, absolutely.
Which is why... I think that's why Slender was so scary.
That got me so much. Yeah. And what was good is that I didn't realise for ages that he was there. And meanwhile, Taz from Geek One was, like, live tweeting and taking screenshots. I had no idea. And it took me about 10 minutes to realise he was there, and I flipped
There's a multiplayer mode for Slender now, I believe.
Really?
Yeah, where someone plays as Slender.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
And it's sort of, I think, like, what you only show up if they look directly at you, or you can toggle on in invisibility or something, or...
I don't know how it
Bardia
works.
Would know all about it.
I've never played it, but I've seen enough. Like people start replicating what they would imagine Slender to do in the single player version. So like they just stand by the trees, and as you walk by, people will like glimpse you as they, and it's like it's horrifying.
It's a great video. People should check out online if they haven't seen it. I think it's in the Netherlands or somewhere. This group of prankers who do horror pranks. They did a great Slenderman one where they made this huge, freakishly tall Slenderman. Costume, and they just sort of stand in the middle of like an abandoned road when people are driving, or they like... hide in a park and wait till like a couple turn around and just see him standing next to a tree.
They don't even need to know the reference of the game.
No,
it's
of course
terrifying.
Not.
It's terrifying.
Oh,
well, just a gross. Well, I feel like that's where the whole myth of this Slender Man figure came from. Just a like freakishly tall, like an unnaturally sort of gangly
with no face,
thing with no features. Probably just originated from a real tall dude who was like,
can I come too?
Look, mate. Let's go to a song, come back, and then talk about it Until Dawn.
Let's do it.
I can't wait to do that.
Yeah? All right, this is the Night Fighter from the World 1 of 1 album, and we're going to talk Until Dawn after this. You're on 2RRR 88.5 FM. All right, let's talk Until Dawn. We're getting giggly.
No, we're only until 10.
Classic, Tegan. Classic.
Oh, no.
You just imagine that you heard the boom.
Yeah.
Just imagine it.
We'll cut it in later.
No.
Nope.
Absolutely not.
No, and I'll just cut that line out. Less work.
Monsters.
Until Dawn. One of the best horror games I've played in a long
time.
Review done.
Done.
You're welcome, Sony.
There was something about it that I just found so enjoyable, and I think it was just that, like, at its core. So I'm getting ahead of myself, right?
Yeah,
great game, but at its core, right? First of all, okay, games. Let's do it.
let's talk games.
Okay.
Alright, let's do it.
Shenmue. Right. No, Shenmue. Benmu. No, I call it Benmu.
Yes, you did.
That can be your pet nickname for me, buddy. No, so if you haven't heard of Until Dawn, it is very much like a Quantic Dreams game, a la Heavy Rain or Beyond Two Souls. So it's sort of a interactive cinema experience. You know, you're walking around investigating rooms, but then action stuff is mainly limited to quick time events and sort of morality decisions to make, and also
reactionary stuff.
Reaction,
too.
Not always morality. More just like, what do you think you should do? Run or hide?
Yeah.
You know, attack or tackle weight, that kind of stuff.
And it's like instant. Like, do you have, like, it's like you have to make it split seconds.
Sometimes
split second
sometimes no, depending on the situation. Cool. They
and
do both.
The quick time event things are really quick.
Oh,
too.
Yeah.
Quick time events, super quick.
Sick. So you will fail some of them.
Oh, yeah. There was at one point, no, I won't give too much away because I think we really need to keep this as spoiler free as possible. Yeah. Later on, something happens where I did lose a character and it cut back to a button that I'd pressed wrong at one point earlier, and it's like, that's
wrong.
Where you fucked up. That's
man,
why
that's
they're
brutal.
Dead.
Yeah. In fact, so
it's
at
really cool.
At the center of the game is this focus on the butterfly effect.
Yes.
And the game itself, you play a bunch of different characters, and it's sort of like a classic cabin in the woods horror movie scenario. So you've got your characters' archetypes. You've got the jock, you've got the nerd, you've got the sort of sensitive friend. You got the bros. Oh man, there are so many bros in this
game.
So
many bros.
It is bros to the wall. it has all these sort of stereotypes. Except what I love about it, instead of being a movie where you judge them by putting you in the shoes of each character, even the character who is just needlessly horrible.
Yeah.
Emily, who is just horrendous to everyone. She's just like, oh my god, what are you doing? She's like really whiny and posh and stuck up.
I hate it all.
Even when you play as her, you kind of. You're still in her shoes. You're on her side as she discovers horrible things, survives traumatic experiences.
Yeah, right.
So, and it's great. It's a great way to
empathize with the characters.
Oh,
yeah, to make
it's
you
perfect.
Empathize with these horror tropes that you're so desensitized to in film.
Yeah.
But at its core, it is this butterfly effect thing where any decision could lead to any character dying. You can technically save every character, and you can technically finish the game with literally every character dying.
But it's like
there's
stupid,
any combination.
Stupid things of like, oh, I didn't pick up that book, so
no,
someone
else
no,
died. No,
so
not
like,
necessarily.
It can be anything. Like sometimes it might be, it could be more overt. It could be like, do you choose to save that person or not? Right. It could be, you know, do you split up from the group and go do something alone?
Okay, so the meaningful choices. It's
absolutely.
Not like just random
sometimes,
things.
No.
Sometimes, though, there are ones, like, because I've been looking at all the different alternate ways. I mean, my game ended with a lot of dead people.
So did mine.
So I looked up a lot
different
of alternate
dead people
ways.
Than Ben's, which
there
is
are,
interesting.
There are some, there's one character whose death can be avoided if you just find a vital clue at one point that gives him key information.
Yeah.
There is another death that I didn't have, but apparently that... it can be avoided. It just depending on decisions you've made, it affects how the other character reacts to you. So there might be a scene later on where they do or don't trust you, or they might not open a door to let you in, or
that's right.
You know, it's
that's
stuff
cool.
like this.
It's really cool,
and it's all kept track of with this thing called the butterfly effect. So every time you make a decision, you get notified that it's updated.
Yeah, you see like the little
so logs.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
And so you can flick through, and it can be like, you know, oh, you encountered a. I'm just making them up, but it might be one like, oh, you encountered a wounded. Canada wounded deer.
And that changed something.
Did you put it out of its misery, or did you...
Okay.
That's
cool.
Did you leave it to die, or did you
and
help
sometimes
it?
You just need to do absolutely nothing, and that's the right decision or the wrong decision, you know. And
that's the best. Like,
that's the best.
So this, you know, you'll pull out your gun, and you'll come up with a little aimer, and you have to...
And you've got a timer.
Yeah, have a timer, and you have to aim at what you want to shoot.
Like Walking Dead,
and pull the trigger.
Or don't.
But if you don't do it, then you won't, and sometimes that's the option.
And sometimes that's
great.
The correct
that's
option.
Right. So the game wants you to replay it.
Oh, yeah. And so one cool thing that I found, it comes in chapters. And so one thing that I was kind of finding a little bit frustrating is that you'd finish a chapter and suddenly be like, previously on Until Dawn, like, I've literally just done this. What's going on?
That's
but,
thing.
However, when you finish the game, you can go back and play each individual chapter and change your decision. So now it makes sense. That was cool.
Although I still like, that is probably one of the two things that I ultimately didn't like about it.
Yeah.
That thing was quite jarring, and the other thing that just really bothered me is they for the, whatever reason when you stop to pick things up, you press the right trigger.
Yes, you're right.
To pick an item up,
then you have to rotate
and
it,
and then you wait. But like it's not fluid, so you press the button, character picks it up, then you have to rotate it, so character rotates it.
and then looks at it, you know, and it's like three steps just for a character to pick something up. And
that
look
was
at
mostly
it.
Annoying with the totems, I found, more than anything.
Because there was never a reason, like, you never, the key information of any item you looked at was always on the back of it.
Absolutely, like, so you always, never, always. Even like, something that seemed like it was obvious clue, like, no, it's whatever's on the back is the clue.
So there's literally no point for you to have to take those many steps, but the number of times you accidentally let go of a trigger,
yes,
and you'd pick a thing up, and then put it down again, and then have to stop and pick it up and turn it over. It was just arbitrary. But also, like, annoyingly at odds with the rest of the stuff. Like, the quick time events and everything felt so fluid and
absolutely
instant and great. Like, my favorite moments are the bits, like, where you're rushing urgently to either get away from something or to rescue someone or something, and it says, you know, do you take the longer safe route? Do you risk the short route? And both can screw you up, depending on the situation. And so you just have to make those decisions.
Is it scary?
Yeah.
So it's quite psychological. You've got your jump scares, but one of the cool elements of it is that intermittently you are in a office is a strong word, but you end up in... Yeah, I can't go into a whole lot of detail, but let's just say that the stuff that happens that asks you as a player questions,
That's cool. The
way that you answer them might affect how certain things crop up to mess with
you. It's sort of like a questionnaire-y thing you almost do.
Yeah.
And halfway through it, you stop and go, hang on a second.
Oh, God.
I'm just giving this game the ammunition for all the things that terrify me.
Yeah.
Which is why my game had a few more spiders.
Mine did not.
Clowns.
Mine did not.
No.
There were clowns in this game?
Yeah.
That depends, but I didn't have clowns.
Every character was a clown.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, no, it was just totally different game. Really lovely and enjoyable after.
Terrifying.
But that's what made it really interesting with us both playing in the same house at the same time as well, is that we're having such different experiences.
And
they
are huge differences. When we got it to the same point, there's one character that I lost.
Yeah.
And you and I had completely different situations.
Yeah.
For me, horribly brutal death.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking instantaneous, gut-wrenching separation of vital body parts in a blink of an eye. And the best thing, like, that for me, this was the most brutal death, and it was the highlight of the game for me, because the death was so avoidable, because I made a classic horror movie decision based on gut instinct.
Yeah,
if that was happen for you.
No, I took the opposite decision. She was alive at the end of my game.
Whoa.
But if that was a character doing that in a movie, I'd be going, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Exactly.
And I was the one who
You're
did
the
it.
Reason.
And it felt like the right thing at the time. And it was great. I loved that the game made
that's
me do
incredible.
That.
That's incredible. So, how long is a rough playthrough?
9 hours-ish, depending.
It's good length.
And then if you're going to go back and then...
Yeah, and play it. So, I think I finished it before Ben, but I'd only gotten the day before, but I smashed through it because I was loving it.
But it's a really solid 9 hours. It's not
it doesn't feel cheap at all.
There's no filler. It's all constantly cinematic and immersive.
Good performances from what I've seen.
Really good performances. And the horror is great too. It's not like what a lot of recent horror has felt like, which is, I'd say, Evil Within or...
is that a horror?
To a much better extent, Alien Isolation.
Yes.
It's not stress horror. Mm. It's pure horror. It's like
slasher
anticipation
horror. It's like old school.
of the concept, and it's sort of like real great ingrained psychological horror.
And a really cool investigation built into it too, which I really enjoyed.
So PS4 exclusive, but definitely get on it. It's great.
For sure.
If you love your horror and you love your horror movie specifically, it is just like... It is a game made for
It's a playable
horror
movie. It's exactly what it is.
Yeah, get that on it. Awesome. A solid recommendation from me, and I assume you too, Tegan?
Absolutely.
There we go. Let's go to some messages and say goodbye. Well, that brings us to the end of another show. Tegan and Badia, thanks for coming in. Badia, thank you especially for braving your own...
Thank you.
Braving your own body that's fighting against you.
I feel parts of me falling away like a sponge.
Yeah. You are definitely dying. You turned to a ghoul before our very eyes. You can now follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Big Head Mode, 2RRR, and of course, website, bighedmode.com.au. You can also go to Giant Dwarf website to find tickets for our new bonus stage show. It's coming up. Two exciting guests. We have Senator Scott Ludlam coming on to talk about the Australian games industry, and Dante Basco, a.k.a. Rufio from
Rufio.
It sounds like you're kidding, but these are actually the people we have on the show.
This is who we got,
AKA
man.
Prince Zuko from Avatar The Last Airbender. They're both coming on our show, so check out the website and Giant Dwarf for details on that. We're going to play out with Lost Our Marbles from Sonic the Hedgehog, and Matt Curley's up next with Accidentally Curly's Treat. Till then, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye. Bye.